You were just listening to Ubi Caritas et Amor by my guest Paul Mueller, as performed by members of Tenebrae, conducted by Nigel Short. You know, you listen to a piece of music like that, and combined with what's going on in our world, there is a very special importance to art and work like that in our world, all over the world today.
Well, thank you. I think that, you know, the amount of pain there is in the world, the amount of people wanting to kill each other and fight each other and all of that stuff, we as artists, I think, have a duty to remind people through music or through art or poetry or plays or dance, whatever the medium, that there are beautiful things about humanity, there are beautiful things about the world that can enrich our lives, that can help us to talk and communicate with other people without darkness. And I think one of the things for me as a composer of music, of spiritual music, and that's an important word, spiritual, yeah, is that we have to show people the divine. If we can, a glimpse of this, somehow it's impossible to do because the divine is so powerful, but to show a glimpse of the beauty and peace of the divine in art. And that's what I try very hard to do and fail most of the time. But, you know, we talk about, I often hear from people that religion is dead. And I think that's the most ridiculous thing anyone's ever said. Religion has changed, and it will continue to change as it always has done. But the fundamentals stay the same. You know, there is a need for people now to connect with the spiritual. There is a need to connect with peace and gentleness in people's lives because our lives are so hectic. And music like this, or going into great big open beautiful spaces like churches, or walking in the forest, or those kinds of things, can give people a spiritual awareness of what's around them.
Yeah, very important. And it puts life into a totally different perspective, especially as you say. I mean, we're always running from one place to the next. I think our lives are so like in a puzzle, here to here, then here to here, instead of this feeling of being able to just let it come to us.
That's right. I think that's right. And so I hope in these little anthems to just give 3 or 4 minutes a moment to allow that to happen.
And they can be very soothing and helpful.
Yeah,
to anybody.
That's right. Regardless of your... I mean, you don't have to... I mean, I am a Christian, but you don't have to be a Christian to understand this. You just have to open heart. That's all.
That's all. Mm. That's right. Very good. Well, we just heard Ubi Caritas et Amor, which I just mentioned. There's a story, though, behind this piece.
Yes.
And we're going to link this to another piece of music. Go ahead.
That's right. I mean, something that a lot of people don't know is that when I was contacted by their Royal Highnesses for... to be included into the wedding, it wasn't Ubi Caritas, wasn't the piece. The piece was called Now Sleeps the Crimson Petal, the first movement of my 4-movement cycle on the same name. That was the piece that they had originally chosen for the wedding. And then there was some discussion because the text of Now Sleeps the Crimson Petal is by Alfred Tennyson, the great English poet, and it's a very sensuous poem. It's about two people in love lying in each other's arms under the stars. I mean, it's a gorgeous poem. But we felt for religious service that it wasn't quite right, that it needed to be more sacred than secular. And so I rewrote the piece into Ubi Caritas. That's how that came about, at their request. So the harmony stays the same in Ubi Caritas, but the words are different. And so when you hear in a minute the first movement, you will hear the harmony is the same. But because the words are different and the stresses of the words are different, they actually sound quite different.
It's a different piece almost.
It is, yeah. Even though in essence it's the same.
Mm. Well, we're going to hear it now. We listen to Now Sleeps the Crimson Petal by my guest Paul Mueller. Once again, members of Tenebrae are conducted by Nigel Short.
The fire. His bond down was broken. He drew the tears from Venus' eyes. The waves will be spoken.
You were just listening to music once again by my guest, Paul Mueller. That was Now Sleeps the Crimson Petal. The work was in four movements and just performed by Tenebrae, conducted by Nigel Short. Music once again by my guest, Paul Mueller. Wow, that's heavy stuff, but incredibly beautiful.
Thank you. Well, you can see the link now with First Movement and Ubi Caritas.
Yes.
That link, I think, is obvious. But the other three movements, of course, are connected to flowers and different aspects of flowers. So in the first one, Now Sleeps the Crimson Petal, is the sensuous aspect of flowers, the rose and the lily. Mm-hmm. Then we have Lady, When I Behold the Roses Sprouting, which is about a woman's beauty being compared to the flowers. And the third one is about flowers on a bank as people fall in love. And then the final one is a spiritual, religious one, a spotless rose, which, of course, is either, if you're Roman Catholic, the Virgin Mary, or Anglican, the baby Jesus Christ. So, it's all aspects of how the rose is reflected.
When you hear a performance of your choral music, you probably can hear a pin drop at the end of each of your works, or most of them.
It does go very quiet, yes. I think it's because, unlike a lot of my fellow composers that we mentioned earlier, I tend to like extremes. So I like to have this deep bass. So the basses can go really low. I mean, there at the very end of that's low B.
Yes.
Hello D even, and B. And I think it probably comes from my kind of Polish ancestry, my father's background, that I like that, or the Russian Orthodox Church that kind of lingers in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
I like those deep fundamentals.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, the sound you get out of those is just fantastic. Well, Paul Mueller, my guest, is here in America for a performance featuring his music by the New York Chamber Choir. And this is the group's inaugural season. The concert will be this Saturday, June 6th at 7 p.m. at 5th Avenue Presbyterian Church, 7 West 55th Street in New York. The choir's director is Alistair Hamilton. You can purchase tickets online at www.chamberchoirs.nyc. Paul, tell us more about the recital or the concert.
Yes, it's quite an unusual concert. It's celebrating 500 years of royal music. That's music that's been written for the royal family in Great Britain, royal occasions, various queens and kings. So we have music, for example, by Henry Purcell, the great English composer. Mm-hmm. We have music by Vaughan Williams, Ralph Vaughan Williams. But we also have music from Sir John Taverner, who died in 2013. And we have his famous piece, Song for Athene, which was sung at the funeral of Princess Diana, as you know. So this is, and lots of other things in between, as well as an American premiere by me, a setting of For God So Loved the World. So there's a whole load of different styles and languages involved in this concert, musical. So I think there will be something for everybody. But it's also a real celebration in 2015 of music for royal occasions.
Once again, you can purchase tickets online at www.chamberchoirs.nyc. And this is this Saturday, June 6th at 7 p.m. at 5th Avenue Presbyterian Church, 7 West 55th Street in New York. And you'll be there, right, Paul?
That's right. I'll be there. And so will you be, Mom.
So I will be. And if you go to the concert, you'll meet Paul Mueller in person. Well, let's go. We're going to hear some sections of major work of yours. But before we do, share with us a bit what is musically happening for you in the future. Are you working on any new major works, new recordings? What's happening now?
It's quite a busy time because in November.
Well, that's good.
It is good. It's very good. Very good. I'm not complaining. But in November on the 25th, I celebrate my 40th birthday. So it's a biggie for me. And I can no longer keep saying I'm young. So as part of that, there's a big commission to write. I've been commissioned to finally realize my first symphony. So the first symphony, which will be called Passiontide, Symphony No. 1, Passiontide, brings together work that I've been writing over a long period of time. My Stabat Mater, which we heard earlier.
Right.
And then my Crucifixus, which we're going to hear some extracts of from in a moment. And so the piece brings those two together for orchestra and choir with two new orchestral interludes as well. So the piece is about 70 minutes.
Wow.
It's a big piece. It's a kind of apotheosis, a summing up of everything I've been doing over the last 20 years. And it will be performed in Scotland, and it's conducted by Westminster's Choir College's own James Jordan. He's coming over to conduct the premiere of that. And the Orchestra of Scottish Opera, and I'm really looking forward to it. So that's happening in November. Then in February, I come back to New York because I'm going to be at Carnegie Hall for my Stabat Mater being done there with orchestra as part of DCINY concert, which I'm really excited about. I'm also writing a number of other smaller things as well. I'm doing a setting of the Jubilate Deo. I'm doing a number of arrangements of Gerald Finzi, a new CD on Decca. So they want looking at contemporary composers arranging Finzi's music with new ears.
And who will be the performers?
It's going to be the Aurora Orchestra.
Okay.
So that's for next year. That's the new recording. And also another couple of things that I can't really talk about. It's going
to
be quite
exciting.
But we'll
be there to listen. And I'm sure this is something you can talk about. I hope you're discussing your first symphony, 70 minutes. I hope that will be recorded.
Oh, there are definite plans for that. Yes, absolutely.
I hope.
Very serious plans for that.
And you know where that will be heard. Right here.
Fantastic.
Right at one of those CD players. Yeah, best of luck with that, Paul. Well, let's go to the tie. And we were going to go to the first three movements.
This is a piece of mine called Crucifixes. And these are the first three movements, which forms the second part of my symphony, number one. The first movement is called How Beautiful on the Mountains Are the Feet of Those That Preach the Gospel of Christ. And if you listen closely to it, you will hear a cello solo performing the O Come, O Come, Emmanuel song. You will also hear the old plain chant in the high violins, Te Lucis Antiterminum, before the ending of the day. Mm. The second movement is Your Silence is Stillness, which is Christ at the cross with blood and dropping, and the music drops along with that. And then the third movement, which we hear, the third of six, is a setting of O Sweetest Jesus. And the Crucifixus, which means crucifixion, is looking at the crucifixion from lots of different perspectives. So we have Mary Magdalene, we have people witnessing it, but this third movement, O Sweetest Jesus, is our opinion of seeing Christ on the cross. You know, what happens when there are terrible things in our lives, in the world? Mm. There's sometimes, for some of us, only thing that we can do is to fall down on our knees and pray. And in this movement, O Sweetest Jesus, it says that, Christ, when I'm in your presence, all I can do is fall on my knees and pray.
Wow. So we're going to hear the first three sections of this work right now by my guest, Paul Mueller. We hear members of Tenebrae and the Aurora Orchestra, conducted by Nigel Short.
Thank you. Tronus meus in columna, in flagella paratus. Respice faciem Christi tui.
Thank you.
Music by my guest, Paul Miller. You were just listening to the first three sections of his Crucifixus as performed by members of Tenebrae and the Aurora Orchestra, conducted by Nigel Short. Music, once again, by my guest, Paul Miller. Well, Paul, it's hard to believe that 2.5 hours is almost gone. It really went very quickly. And before we go to two final choral works, I want to just talk a little bit about some of your hobbies outside of music. Why don't you take over?
Yeah, well, music takes up a lot of it, but
I'm sure.
There are other things. For example, I enjoy fishing. Yeah. I have a boat, and I enjoy fishing for mackerel in Anglesey in North Wales. It's something I really enjoy doing. Cooking is another thing I enjoy doing. I think quite often composers and enjoy cooking.
Yeah. I contribute the eating part.
Well,
not
do
the
that
cooking.
As well. I do that as well. And also, I mean, I make my own wine. So I've been finding elderberry wine and pear wine and stuff like that. That's good. But two animals that take up a lot of my time, my two cats. I have an old Persian cat, a wonderful black Persian cat called Fred.
That's funny, because we had a cat named Fred, and that was the title of my first CD, Fred the Cat, which is a piano sonata by Alan Hovhaness. So there's... Fred is a good name for a cat.
It's a good name. I named him after Frederick Delius. He's quite old. Last month he celebrated his 23rd birthday.
23. Yeah. And how much does he weigh?
Over 20 pounds. He's a big. Oh. He's a big, big cat. And he's 109 in cat years. I think that's right. But he's lovely, and he's still going well. And then I've got a younger cat than him, a white rag doll called Claude. Claude Debussy.
After that.
Yeah.
The 23-year-old cat, Fred.
Yep.
Does he still run around? I mean,
not
what
so
is,
much.
Tell me about his whole lifestyle.
Well,
he's
never really been a runner-arounder type of cat, if I'm being honest. He's always been one of these cats that sits on top of the piano and looks at the world with disdain. And so that's kind of kept him going. Yeah. He really enjoys smoked salmon. That's his great treat in the evenings. And occasionally, if he's good, I give him a little drop of Scotch whiskey. And the vet has told me that's not good for him.
No.
But at the age of 23, I think he's done
remarkable.
And he really enjoys it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they say Persians have such wonderful personalities.
Oh, he does. He's very friendly. You know, all that time, he's never scratched me and he's never bitten me, ever. And that's very unusual, I think. He's incredibly friendly, loves being around people.
Yeah, that's how one of our cats is.
Yep.
We have one of our Persian cats when the... UPS man comes to the post office or whatever. Sometimes if there's a package, he will be down there. I wish I could teach him how to actually take the package. Yeah. But he's really... tell us about the other one. Now.
Yeah, the other one, Claude. He's a little bit shy. He does his own thing. But the two of them get on extremely well. And, of course, I've got a cat carrier. So when I'm traveling between Scotland and Wales, I stick them in. They come out on the boat with me when I go fishing. I also, when I go, because I like cycling, that's another thing I enjoy doing.
Oh, okay.
So I've had a basket made for the front, and I took them once in it. Claude didn't like it very much, so I didn't take him again, but Fred loves it, absolutely loves coming.
Wow.
He really does.
Just wonderful. Well, Paul, before we just go to two final pieces, which we'll just go right to, I just want to thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you. It's been great to be here.
It's been an incredible, incredible couple of hours. And again, so honored that you came here this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We sign off now before we go to the avant-garde edition of Classical Discoveries with two more choral works of Paul Miller. We begin with She Walks in Beauty, and that will be followed by Peace. Once again, we hear members of Tenebrae, conducted by Nigel Short. Paul, once again, thanks so much.